Well, good morning, everybody. I'm really thrilled to be here. And I am from Suffolk County. And you might see PNP after there and you say, what's this pediatric person doing with big people? Well, I'm the coordinator for child health, and I'm expected to know everything there is to know about vaccines because our health department is really responsible for educating our providers, our population, as well as our own staff about vaccines. And I'm really kind of proud of the job that we've done in Suffolk, especially with getting to our providers. And they said it was my project. It's our project. This is a. I'm just very good at making, at doing slides and putting presentations together. But this was a real group effort, as you'll see as we go through the presentation. So just to talk a little bit about the background, the New York State Department of Health, they had a new program implemented to bring Hep B, Hep A vaccine to local health departments. This project had been going on for a while, but they really decided to formalize it and put it in a much more cohesive program. So I believe that they would have more control so that they could collect better statistics, and they would also know where the vaccine was going and who was using it. All adults who met that CDC ACIP recommendation for receipt of vaccine were eligible for this program. And we've been talking all along about how big people don't get vaccinated because there's no money for it. Well, New York really put their money where their mouth was. And in our health centers, and in order to be eligible for the vaccine, if they fell into one of these criteria, we really weren't looking at whether or not they could pay for the vaccine because the state was providing it to us for at no charge. So any of our patients who were treated for STDs, the sex partners of anybody who was HBsAg positive, any sexually active person not in a long-term mutually monogamous relationship. Well, as far as I'm concerned, as the public health nurse, that just about relates to almost everybody in the population these days, so everybody was eligible. A current or a recent intravenous drug user, or anybody with HIV. It's really interesting when we brought the HIV piece because we have a sizable number of HIV-positive individuals living in Suffolk County. In fact, unless the data has changed since I looked at it recently, Suffolk County has the highest number of people with HIV right after New York City in the state of New York. So any Suffolk County Department of Health Service person who had previously received hepatitis B vaccine at no cost from the state health department. Now all of a sudden we were being told that we were in jeopardy of losing that very, very valuable program. So what we were able to do in the past was offer that vaccine in our STI clinics, our drug treatment program, our correctional facilities, and our prenatal programs. And you might say, well, what is a health department doing in correctional facilities? Our health department actually provides the health services in the two correctional facilities that we run in Suffolk County. I think it's a pretty unique program, but we have some phenomenal correctional facility nurses. They tell me they're not jail nurses, they're correctional facility nurses, but they've done a phenomenal job in vaccinating their populations. So without this new policy, we wouldn't get that free vaccine anymore, and it really sent us into a tailspin. We needed to comply with that new policy, and we needed to comply with it quickly if we were going to keep that vaccine. So we needed a new adult hepatitis B policy. All right, when we looked in our manual, we really didn't have one. So we had to get this policy done quickly. So the health department in New York State was absolutely phenomenal. They did not want us to lose the free vaccine, but we had to comply with their requirements. So they became our new best friends, as if they weren't always our best friends. So they did everything they could to facilitate this whole process. We didn't want to lose the program, and neither did the state want us to lose the program. So what was the setting? All the facilities run by Suffolk County Department of Health Services. We have 8 primary health centers. We're still providing primary care, which also incorporate our prenatal clinics. I mentioned to you that we have correctional facilities. We have 2. We have a maximum security prison, and we have a medium security prison. We have our migrant health program, which is pretty much run by one of our health centers. We have our Immunization Action Program, which is the program that I directly run, and that's better known as our Shots for Tots program, where we go out into the community providing vaccines to children who qualify for the VFC program. We have our BOCES school-based health center, which provides vaccines, and we also have our drug treatment facilities. And we are located, we're a suburban county in New York. If you want to know where we are, we're the last two-thirds of Long Island. We're actually bigger than Rhode Island. So what was our population? All adults were screened, anybody who was 19 years of age or older, because anybody who was 18 or younger was already being screened for our Vaccines for Children program. And the patients were attending one of our facilities or programs. So what happened with the project? Well, we needed a policy for immunizing adults. We had one for children, but we didn't have a formalized one for adults. So we used the New York State Board of Nursing template for developing standing orders, as well as looking at the Immunization Action Coalition template, which they have, so we wanted to take the best of both worlds. And what do standing orders do? It allows registered nurses to offer and administer immunizations. The nurses make the assessment, the nurses administer, and the nurses provide the documentation to the individuals who are receiving the vaccines. All eligible individuals are much more likely to be immunized. We have very good data from the CDC that clearly shows when you have a well-managed standing orders program, far more people are immunized than when it's just left up to just the provider to look and make sure that the person is immunized. Providers have an awful lot of things on their plates. And if you've got several people assessing that chart as they're moving through the system and looking to see what the needs for immunizations are, they're far more likely to be immunized. And I have to admit, in Suffolk County, we have probably about 50 nurse champions who are absolute militants about reading charts and making sure that nobody slips through the cracks and gets immunized. So what did the State Health Department do for us? We literally had a daily conversation with the State Health Department to make sure that we got our individual PIN numbers. In the past, we would just tell the state how much vaccine we wanted and it arrived on our doorsteps. All of a sudden, we needed accounts and PIN numbers and formalized processes for accepting and handling the vaccine. So, and meanwhile, we've got 8 health centers, all of which needed separate PIN numbers, plus our drug treatment facilities and our migrant program and everybody else. All of those people, that those different programs that I listed, each now had to get their own PIN numbers. And also, with the drug treatment programs, if we had them at 2 or 3 different sites, that means we needed 2 or 3 different PIN numbers. So this was, we were like, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this and do it quickly? So, like I mentioned, we were on the phone almost every day with the State Health Department. They faxed, they emailed us all the documents that we had to fill out. I worked with each one of the health centers to make sure that the documents were all completed correctly, so when we sent everything to the state, we wouldn't have to send them back because there was missing information. The state made sure that they were checking things as soon as they got them, and it was just an amazing process. In less than 2 weeks, we had PIN numbers, the policy in place, and everything all done, so it was seamless. None of our health centers missed out on delivery of their hepatitis A vaccine for their adults. So we had minimal interruptions, and like I said, I cannot thank New York State Health Department enough for making this process easy for us. We had a cadre of people who were working on it in our health department locally, but if we didn't have the state stepping up to the plate and giving us the help and support that we needed, this program never would have come to fruition. So what were the lessons learned? We really partnered very closely with our state health department. We quickly developed and implemented the standing order policy. Dr. Linda Mermelstein actually wrote the template, and then I filled in the blanks and made sure that we had everything in place. And this was going on while Dr. Mermelstein was under the pressure of trying to do 20,000 other things, and I'm seeing patients in one of our health centers because we were short-staffed, so the Blackberries were flying back and forth. But it was just amazing how when you have a dedicated set of staffs, how everybody can just work together to get a common goal done. So the policy was developed. Now, the policy that we developed after we got this put in place, we New York State Health Department asked us if they could use that for a template for other health departments. I didn't bring it with me because it's kind of hard to carry things on airplanes these days, but if you give me your email address, I will have that template emailed to you. So these are the people that I really want to acknowledge who made this whole process occur for us. Dr. Linda Mermelstein, who was our acting commissioner in Suffolk County. Dr. Deborah Blogg, who's the medical director for the immunization program. She also just said, you know, make sure that everything was set up so that we could get this done. David Lynch, who was the director of the New York State Health Department, and the entire staff of the New York State Immunization Adult Hepatitis B program. I cannot thank them enough for everything they did. We really want to make sure that we immunize our adults, because I'm taking care of the parents of these children, and I want to make sure that everybody in the whole family is protected. And thank you all very much for your attention.
Couple questions.
My question is in regards to records.
Okay.
I'm a public health nurse in Colorado, and we see all the homeless population that come through our health department for TB skin tests. And we always try to catch them. Many of them have been in jail in some correctional facility and don't have any record. They say, oh, I got lots of shots. So what do we do? We know that our correctional facility nurses are giving Hep B also, but we don't have records, and we can't test. What do we do? How do we get them to give them a record?
Well, our correctional facility nurses do give them records. They do keep records at the facility, as well as give the patients a record so that when they leave with that record. Now, I'm going to put a plug in for registries here. I will admit that Suffolk County is as guilty as the next county, and they always throw their hands in the air and say, we don't have time to put the adult vaccines in the registry. All of our flu vaccines went in, and we managed to do that. So, you know, what is that old proverb, the longest journey begins with a single step? So, like I said, I'm going to put a plug in for registries. In New York, once they are 18, they have to sign, or they're 19, they have to sign in order to go into the registry. But honestly, I probably could count on the fingers of one hand during our flu issues, people who said they did not want it put into the registry. And honest to goodness, the nurses in our correctional facilities are looking to put the hepatitis B that they give in the registry. And that's really the next step. Just to give you an idea of where we are in New York, in our county, our nurses in the health centers don't directly enter into the registry. They put it into our billing system. The immunizations are pulled off the billing system and then sent as a flat file to the state, who loads the data. Now, I've had reservations about that since the very beginning, because I had fears that something was going to get lost. And while I was in Chicago last week at the NAPNAP conference, I get a frantic email from our medical director saying the state is threatening to cut off a health center's vaccines because they have no data entered for X amount of time in the registry. And I said, ah, the flat file failed. So, you know, maybe this is an opportunity to fix that. Our nurses are now going, we just got our money from New York State, from the federal government. And we are now going to have the internet capacity for all of our nurses to be able to look at that registry and print, because they, right now, they perceive it's too much work to do it. I'll teach them sooner or later, like I said, one step at a time. That it's too difficult for them to put everything in, but now they can read, because what was happening was people were coming from other facilities. Our nurses couldn't read. They were putting data in. It was useless to them. So now they can see if a child has received elsewhere. They could even look to see if an adult is in there. But like I said, I'm going to put the plug in for those registries, and I think we need them for big people too.
I agree with you. Colorado's.
But if you want to talk to our jail nurse, correctional facility nurses, how they track, because they have their whole tracking system that they have developed for themselves. They have Excel spreadsheets and all this other stuff, and I'm telling you, they know exactly what doses were given to what inmates, and if they, because we have a lot of recidivism. Mm-hmm. So if they don't finish the series when they're there the first time, Mike and his staff pull those registered, those numbers up, and those people get their, and they finish their series. Because we want to make sure they're protected.
I think the registry is the way to go.
I agree with you. But you know, you got to kind of go around until you get to where you want to be. We'll get there. But if you want to, like I said, if you want to talk to Mike, and who is our nursing supervisor in the correctional facility, I'd be happy to put in touch with him, and he'll tell you how he built and runs that program.
Thank you.
Thank you for a good question.
Hi. My question is, we're having big debates over this. The ACIP and CDC recommendations, when you look at the schedule for Hep A and Hep B, say, and anyone who needs to, and anyone who wants protection.
Correct.
So
we kind of like look at it that way too. As
far
as I'm concerned, if you're
adult.
Having sex, you're at risk for developing hepatitis B as well as other STIs. So, you know?
Well, I mean, so it really is every adult that comes in.
Well, you're exactly right. And that's why when I mentioned to you those 50 nurse champions, which is probably about how many nurses we have in our health centers, they are every one of them. It doesn't matter what they're coming in for, because that's the nurses perceive that as part of total care. You know, if you're having sex, you're at risk for an STI, so therefore we're going to offer you this.
So that list that you had, it really didn't say and anybody that wanted to. You had it as,
yeah.
You know.
Well, those.
So are those people covered in your funded?
Yeah, they are.
And did you use Twin Ricks?
Yeah, we did. Okay. It's a piece of cake. The state provides this. They give us this present. Why would you not want to use this present to protect all of these people?
Okay.
So,
well,
and, you know,
great
honestly,
job.
You know, and as far as I'm concerned, as far as safety is concerned, I like pre-filled syringes with peel-off syringe labels, and the drug company didn't tell me to say that. This is the feedback I get from our nurses. They don't have to worry what's in the syringe. It just makes life very much easier for them. You know, anything you can give me in a, I'll take any kind of vaccine you can give me in a syringe with a peel-off label.
Right. Well, that and anybody who wants to be protected from the disease is that catch-all phrase.
That's right. Well, you know, they're all public health. I mean, they're not public health nurses per se in the way that you perceive them, like the field nurses going out. These nurses are working in health centers, but they all have that public health mentality. So their mission in life is prevention of illness. So they take that as that's their marching orders, and that's what they do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question.
This
will be the last question.
In terms of offering the vaccine, how did you get the nurses and your staff to buy in into offering the vaccine to, you know, people coming into different clinics, especially STD and the drug program and even the correctional facilities? My problem is we have vaccine available, but our different local health department are very tenuous into getting involved in offering the vaccine to their population.
Well, that's another very good question. I think because I'm their cheerleader. That's my job, I'm the cheerleader. In every single one of our facilities that vaccinate, we have a nurse immunization champion. That nurse has taken all of the CDC courses, they've taken the Pink Book course, they are given on-the-job time to listen to the CDC's annual updates that come on the internet. That nurse is the go-to person for that particular health center or program. So that nurse is the one who sells it to her colleagues or his colleagues. That's what happened out in the jail. You know, where there were issues going on out in the jail, and Mike and I had any number of conversations. He became the nurse immunization champion, and he just took the ball and ran with it. These nurses have standing orders. They do the assessment. They do the vaccination. They do the tracking, the whole thing. They own it. And I think that's what it is. It's selling it to the nurses so that they own it. Because Bill Atkinson told me a long time ago, if you don't get the nurses involved, it's not going to work. Thank you.
Thank you.